The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money.
What if your financial goals and your deepest convictions were perfectly in sync, perfectly aligned? Welcome to episode 101 of Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management from the perspective of biblical wisdom and principles.
And I'm Eric Terrio.
Oh, I'm James Good.
Yes, you are.
I am. And you're Eric Terrio.
Need to pencil that in there.
That's right. You forgot to say your own name. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but, you know, we're surrounded by so-called financial advice every day.
Mm-hmm.
But how much of that actually really helps you become who God wants you to be? Well, today, we're bridging the gap between your bank account and your heart's calling.
That's right. And every week, we take a look at some of the financial headlines that are out there. There are like so many of them.
Yes.
Like, where do you start, right?
We select a few for you each week, though.
Select a few, that's right. Talk about it, hopefully, with clarity and focus. But that's just the beginning. We'll also see if we can stump you with our weekly trivia later in the show. And then we'll take time to dive deep into principles and practical strategies that help you manage your wealth with a clear conscience and a kingdom focus.
But first, let's jump into some of those headlines you were talking about. Which ones did we pick for this week?
Well, you know, there's this thing we've been talking about, like, ever since we started the show, like, 2 years ago.
What's that?
The I word, inflation.
Mm-hmm. That dirty word.
That's right. So hard to wrap your head around exactly what that is, right? But it's easy to blame it on a lot of different things. And there, some of those are real things, like the war impact that's going on right now. And the New York Times was talking about this in an article, I guess. it was an article today,
yeah,
April 30th, right, as we are recording this. And the New York Times article talked about how global energy prices have surged over 60% since the war in Iran started.
Mm-hmm.
60%.
Now, I don't know if we're quite seeing that in different pockets here in the country, but at least globally, that's what it's going up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are energy prices, right? Mm-hmm. So if it was, if I was paying $3 a gallon to fill up my gas tank, and now I'm paying $4.25 a gallon,
you're feeling it.
That's more than 60%, isn't it?
Well, wish I could do math. $1.50 would be 50%.
$1.50 would be 50%.
Yeah, so it'd have to be more than $1.50.
Okay. All right. So if you think you know the answer,
so it'd be like $4.70.
Let's not go that far, right?
Yeah.
That's just a big jump, right? Even if it's not 60% here. But globally, anyway, energy. But energy prices include more than just gas,
sure,
right? I mean, there's natural gas.
Yep. Coal shippings.
Not natural gas.
Yeah. Yeah. There's petroleum, there's natural gas, propane, kerosene.
That's right.
There's different ways that people heat their homes.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but
it's going up.
It's going up.
And that's the important part.
In a big, big way.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Prices go up, and prices go up, and pretty soon it hits that wonderful index that we talk about.
The Big Mac?
The Big Mac index?
No, no.
Well,
that
it hits that too. Well, it does hit that, right?
Because you got to transport the lettuce and the tomatoes.
The lettuce and the tomatoes, yeah, and the bun. I mean, it has to get from, and to make the bun, right? All the products that have to, or the natural resources, commodities, the flour and everything that goes into that. That's right. All gets put on a truck, and the truck gets traveled around.
The packages.
The box, the packages. That's exactly right. So.
And they're using energy in those warehouses.
They are.
And those plants.
That's right.
So not just the transportation of it.
That's right.
And not, all the way down the chain.
And not just the energy for the truck to get stuff back and forth, but for the people to get to work, right? Which we'll talk which we'll talk about in a minute on that joyous
down
note.
To the farm equipment that's growing it.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the places that use energy that when energy spikes, it winds up eventually hitting all of us in our pocket.
That's right.
Right. So prices go up. And everybody's like, "Oh, inflation!" Of course. Well, you know, the bigger the spike in energy prices, the higher the price eventually that we're going to pay for this stuff.
Yeah, the bigger spike we have on the recording.
Yeah,
and the bigger spike. Right, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm looking at this recording when I just did that inflation thing. Right. We should try that again. Inflation. Okay. So, anyway, but. Apparently, inflation reached its fastest year-over-year increase since 2023, rising 3.5% in March.
Yeah, and that's not good. We're seeing it not just in energy cost, right? We're seeing it in different places where we eat, you know, the Big Mac, you know, where we shop, our groceries.
That's right.
Not just our energy bill, even though that has been going up pretty sharply.
That's right.
And why I think they're keeping it out of some of those indexes.
That's right. Well, yeah.
Because they're like, inflation's not doing that bad. It's like, yeah, but all our energy costs is going up, and you're keeping that out.
That's right. Yeah. And remember, there's three different ways of measuring inflation. There is headline inflation, which kind of includes everything. Right.
And which then, is what we're talking about here.
Which is what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Includes everything. And then.
Because you're paying for everything.
Because you are paying for everything. That's right. And then there is core inflation.
And what's that? Without energy and housing? What's
well, the two? It's technically the more volatile components.
Right? I see.
Like energy and commodities.
Okay.
Which translated means gas and food, because those are commodities. I mean, think about commodities. What are commodities? Like soybeans and flour and corn, just the stuff that goes into cereal and bread. Right? Mm-hmm. So the more volatile components. You take all that away.
And we don't have no more Cheerios.
And then we don't have no more Cheerios. That's right. And no more loaves of bread and no more Big Macs, right? And no more Whoppers, which is rather my favorite thing. But anyway, I mean,
Look at some of these prices.
Yeah, so
like how much does it fill up a gallon of gas these days?
Right. But before we do that, there's one more little. So there's headline inflation and core inflation, which strips out, you know, these more volatile components. And then there is now super core.
Super duper core.
Super. No, not super duper.
Well, that's coming soon.
That's right.
They strip out another.
They didn't get to that one. Yeah. So super core is a term that was invented by, I forget, it was the president of one of the Federal Reserve, I think the Federal Reserve of San Diego, but don't quote me on that. But they invented this term called super core inflation, which now strips out the cost of housing and shelter. And so if you take away food and energy and housing, like what do you have left?
Which everyone pays for unless you're homeless or living with your parents.
That's right.
That's pretty crazy.
So, but anyway, so prices now to fill up a 20-gallon tank of gas is now $80. Right.
$80. That's crazy.
Right. And the cost to eat a Whopper with cheese from Burger King is anywhere between $7.50 and $9.50 for a sandwich.
Well, I was just seeing at McDonald's, the Big Arch, their new sandwich they came out with, $9.50 without the meal.
Without the meal.
Just the sandwich.
Just the sandwich.
$9.50.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, so this is what inflation means, right? Now, see, this really hits home to me. The cost to replace four tires on a Chevy Silverado pickup truck is anywhere between $800 and $1,300.
Mm-hmm. And how would you know that?
And how would I know that? Because I drive a Chevy Silverado truck. Mm-hmm. But this is what inflation means, right? And it really hits home if you are an individual,
got some choices to make,
or a family, right? You when your cost of living goes up, you have to decide how you're going to rearrange your spending priorities.
For sure.
So,
and folks will.
That's right. So
they'll
so
have to.
They'll have to. No choice. So maybe you start, you know, eating chicken instead of steak. Mm-hmm. And you wind up being okay, but you had to shift your priorities.
And we've talked about a couple times about mm-hmm. how, you know, higher income folks are starting to shop more at Walmart now.
That's right.
To get those deals, yeah. Shop for those in-house labels.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even foot traffic at like Dollar General and places is suffering. And so, but you know, the thing is, if you're a family and you make some rearranging of your spending priorities, that's probably not noticeable. Right, but when millions of families need to make these choices, then
you and all the neighbors around you,
that starts turning into a trend in an economy. Mm-hmm. And the same is true for businesses. Wow, we'd run out of time if we started talking about the businesses, right?
Yeah.
So
they're not immune to it either.
No, that's right. So, you know, our Federal Reserve chair did a press conference actually in February before all the inflation really started hitting.
Well,
right?
Everyone wants to know how long is this going to last.
How long is going to last, right?
Yeah.
And his words, exactly, it doesn't take much. You can look, many of the news outlets cover this and so on.
These are four funny words.
He was quoted as saying in the Federal Reserve press conference, when asked, how long do we think this will last? He said, we just don't know. What the effects of this will be, we don't know, and no one does, quote, unquote.
And I see also he says here, take the forecast with a grain of salt.
Grain of salt.
Due to high levels of uncertainty. Yeah. A grain of salt.
A grain of salt.
From our Fed chairman.
So what can we take away from this? Well, certainly make sure that your investments are structured to help you navigate an uncertain environment. Right,
and it's so important.
If the advisor that you're working with really doesn't get it, they don't understand. I mean, you can always call us too, right?
And if he does get it, you can still call us.
You can still call us. That's right. You know, the issue is not going to go away.
No.
You need to have your head on straight. You need to have a good plan, and for sure be working with a good advisor.
Yes. Well, I thought that was a pretty good segment for news this week.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission. Here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And as you noted, Eric, going out of our first segment, we are working through SMART, mm-hmm. where we've talked about understanding your definition of success and how important it is to have that definition written down. But according to the classic definition of SMART, or the classic presentation anyway, SMART is an acronym where the S stands for being specific, the M stands for being measurable, and the A stands for achievable.
That's right.
But, you know, if there's only one thing that you get out of today's discussion, I hope that you'll remember that there are actually two more A's mm-hmm. that should be in SMART. Now, that's my opinion. It's not the standard presentation of SMART, but we'll talk about that. The importance is that these other two A's have to be present if the achievable part is going to work. They just can't. We'll get to those other two A's in a few minutes. But first, let's just realize that there is a conundrum presented by the word achievable. I think conundrum is the right word.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
What a conundrum is...
Oh, it's like an issue.
Yeah, it's an issue. It's mm-hmm. a
catch 22 or something, right? Our definition of something that's achievable or our understanding of something that's achievable is usually tied to our understanding of what is realistic.
That's true.
Therefore, our definition of success is often limited by our own perception of what is realistic.
And that can be different for different folks.
That's right. It can be different for different folks. Some people have big,
lofty goals,
lofty definitions of what's realistic. And other mm-hmm. times people freeze in place and think, oh my goodness, that could never happen. And so then their definition of success is limited by their understanding of what is possible and what's realistic. Now, let's just say at the outset, right, we are big fans of being realistic.
Yes.
We are. But if you're listening to this podcast, we want you to know that it's important to allow God to challenge and expand your thinking and your understanding of what's realistic.
That's true.
And what's achievable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is somewhere in the biblical text it says with God all things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there's a difference between being crazy and following God's call into what might seem to be unachievable.
Yeah, and I think it's more important to remember that realistic doesn't mean settling for mediocrity.
Mm.
You know, that can mean just setting goals that are challenging but attainable within the resources and the time frame that we have available for us.
Yeah, so if you're thinking, oh my goodness, that just doesn't seem very realistic. I'm going to keep bringing my understanding of what's achievable. I'm going to keep bringing it down and down and down until suddenly it's just mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, that's not what we're talking about.
No, not
here.
At all.
Now, it's important also to say that whenever we do say whether we think something is achievable, we're making an assumption about the future.
That's true. That's a great point.
Right. And again, in the Bible, it tells us that we should not just say, oh, tomorrow we're going to do this or tomorrow we're going to do that. We should always say, you know, God willing,
mm-hmm.
right? If God wills, tomorrow we will do this. So because none of us knows the future, only God knows the future.
Mm-hmm. It's important, you know, to have flexibility and be adaptable in our financial planning, right?
That's right.
Unexpected events can always arise. We never know from where, so it's important to be prepared and just to adjust our course as needed.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. If we allow our own understanding to kind of limit our definition of success, we run the risk of missing what God might have for us.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right. I just think we're going to talk about some really specific examples and cases in point. But I think to myself, what if the Ursuline sisters, we've referenced them before here, but what if the Ursuline sisters had just kind of said, oh, my goodness, this isn't realistic. This is not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we know today as Catholic Charities may never have come into existence
mm-hmm.
because but they didn't. They just set out and started to go doing what they've were called to in their hearts.
And the old saying, if you shoot for the moon, you may land amongst the stars.
That's exactly right. So we don't want you to miss out on God's blessing because you're stuck in your own understanding of what might be realistic.
In your worldly thinking, your worldly thoughts and beliefs.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To not engage in a particular direction or endeavor because we think it's unachievable, inevitably has us staying at status quo.
Yeah, that's true. And like you said, the Bible is full of examples, you know, of people who are achieving seemingly impossible things through faith. And while we need to be wise, we shouldn't let fear or our limited thinking hold us back from God's best.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, I was talking this topic over with someone before we got here, and she said, wow, this is making me feel like I should be doing more.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. I said, no, the point is really not that you should be doing more. The point is that you should be listening to God
mm-hmm.
and where God might be steering you in your planning, right? And your financial planning and your business plan and so on and so forth. So without that vision, status quo just stays put. And it just stays status quo, right? Which sounds kind of redundant, but status quo is status quo. But think about it. You know, the reason Christopher Columbus sailed under Spanish influence and funding was that the other governments he approached for funding did not think that his vision was achievable.
He approached a few of them, too.
He approached a few. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess back then they thought the world was flat. You know, why should we dump money into an effort where you're just going to sail off the side of the globe?
That's right.
Or, I mean, the side of the world, right?
Uh-huh. The ocean just falls off or there's an ice wall out there somewhere.
That's right. So, you know, that just his voyage would never have happened unless somebody thought that at least his vision was somewhat achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And because that happened, then someone felt. He felt free and he was freed up to be able to actually go do that. So I would say, too, it's important to recognize the difference between something that is unrealistic and something that is simply outside of our realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have true. To be aware of that. Like, you know, when Jesus fed this huge crowd of 5,000 people or more, I guess, with one tiny little lunch. That was certainly outside of everybody's realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But for God, it was no big deal.
No big deal.
That's right. So we have to recognize the difference between what's unrealistic and what's outside of our realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I don't know, if you were back then when Christopher Columbus was looking for funding, do you think you would have said, hey, I think that's achievable? I mean, try to put yourself in that space and time.
Not right? If my resources were finite. If I was a rich king, I would probably want to have that notoriety. But just putting yourself in their shoes and their way of thinking back then, and if you really thought the earth was flat, or like, no, you're not going to spend everything you have on a crazy idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even, you know, 110 years ago or so, my grandfather was dating my grandmother and they were driving around in a horse-drawn sleigh. And I'm sure that if someone had said to him, hey, you're running late, just call her up.
Mm-hmm.
He would have said, yeah, he would have said, what does that mean? How do you call somebody up? Right. Because 110 years ago, they didn't have telephones.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least not anywhere close to like what we have today. So it was outside.
You told someone you were meeting them a Tuesday at noon. You had to be there Tuesday at noon.
That's right. Yeah. Or the world didn't turn. So that was outside of his realm of understanding, but it was actually not even achievable back then because they didn't have some of the technology that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, as we go through the rest of our the rest of our time here today, we want to talk about some sort of case studies, if you will, cases in point of things that were either achievable or not achievable, and we'll maybe talk through why or why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, because I think it's so important to understand, to try to wrap our heads around this. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into those in our next segment.
It's time for PA Trivia.
Well, it's time for my favorite part of the show, the weekly trivia.
Yes.
That's right.
So what did we have last week,
Last
James?
Week. While meeting in York, Pennsylvania in 1777, the Continental Congress issued a proclamation for a specific event that we now celebrate as a major national holiday every November. What was this first that was declared right here in York, Pennsylvania? And the answer is first National Day of Thanksgiving.
Mm.
Right here in Pennsylvania.
Not bad.
That's right.
All right, we have another
another Pennsylvania trivia.
Pennsylvania first, leading the way for the nation. In 1940, Pennsylvania opened the first long-distance controlled access highway in the country, which served as the blueprint for the modern interstate highway system. What is it called? In 1940, Pennsylvania opened its first long-distance controlled access highway in the country, which served as the blueprint for the modern interstate highway system. What is it called?
If you think you know the answer, send your answer to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. And we will read the correct answer here on the show next week.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Hello, I'm Dave Kelly, one of the volunteers here at WHYF. Since we moved our transmitter and studios, our expenses have gone up. If you're unable to volunteer as I am, I encourage you to support us financially. It's easy to do. You can call us at 717-525-8110. That's 717-525-8110. You can also give online at 720whyf.com.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we're continuing our conversation of SMART goals, right? Whereas S, SMART is an acronym, S stands for specific, M stands for measurable. And as we said in the last segment, A is all about being achievable.
That's right.
So we want to look at several just kind of profile situations and talk through whether or not we think these are achievable.
Mm-hmm. And whether or not they were realistic, unrealistic, right? When you're thinking about embarking on some of these.
That's right. Or if you find yourself in this kind of situation, is it achievable? And that's going to lead us to the second A.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
Well, we'll get to that.
We'll hold off on that.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So let's just kind of paint a scenario. Let's pretend that you have been saving and investing all of your life, and you now have, let's say, $1 million in an IRA or a 401k plan, and it's all pre-tax money,
mm-hmm.
which means it has never been subjected to income tax.
And Uncle Sam's going to want a piece of that.
But let's say that, you know, this is reality for you, and you also have your definition of success and how you think about taxes is that you don't want to pay taxes, or you'd like to pay as few taxes as possible.
As legally required.
That's right. But you have all this money built up in a bucket, if you will, that has never been taxed.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have this thing called an IRS required minimum distribution,
mm-hmm.
which means that somewhere along the way, you're going to, when you hit the age of somewhere over 70, you're going to have to
take some of that out.
Start taking money out. And guess what's going to happen when you start taking money out?
Have to pay taxes on
you
that
have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. And that just isn't aligned with your definition of success.
Right.
Right. So this is kind of an example. Do you think that's achievable? Is it realistic?
No, not to not pay tax on it. There are some strategies to try to mitigate that, but
right. I mean, unless you have significant charitable intent,
mm-hmm.
where you could make charitable, qualified charitable distributions out of your IRA.
Explore other options like Roth conversions.
Yes. But even when you do a Roth conversion, you have to pay tax.
Yeah, you're paying less, though, if you do it right.
If you do it right over the long term. That's mm-hmm. right. It depends on your tax bracket.
You won't pay none, that's for sure.
You won't pay none. That's yeah. right. So the bottom line is, you know, if you've built up all this money in pre-tax investment accounts and now you have to take the money out, well, paying less taxes simply may not be realistic, may not be achievable.
That's true.
The only action, oh, that's the next A, action.
Oh, a Freudian slip there, James.
I guess we were going to like build up to that, you know, and so, but. Oh my goodness, we should practice more, right? But that second A that we referenced, again, action. I mean, the action step you can take is to work with a financial advisor who can help you to understand what possibilities exist in trying to meet your tax goal in light of the circumstances you're in. Let's kind of use another profile situation. Let's pretend, again, you have investments that you've been making, and you're invested in maybe mutual funds that have stocks inside of them, or maybe you own stocks. And so you have most of your money is invested in the market, but you also don't want any more fluctuation in your account than, let's say, 1%.
Mm.
That's a mismatch.
That's not realistic.
That's not realistic.
No.
Whether it's achievable or not is something that we really, I don't know, we could discuss all day long and debate as to whether, but it simply isn't realistic, right?
Not to be exposed in a market like that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what kind of action could you take in a situation like that if, I guess, you could realign your portfolio to get more in line with your risk tolerance?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way that, you know, you can have such small downturns and expect growth out of that at the same time.
That's right.
Doesn't align.
That's right. So, you know, we set these goals, we have this definition of success, and then we ask ourselves, is this achievable?
Mm-hmm.
And as we said in the first segment, you know, we have to decide whether or not our understanding of achievable is actually realistic. Somewhere along the way, though, people have a vision for something that could happen that isn't happening right now. Like even here, somewhere along the way, there was no such thing as Holy Family Radio.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time, right? How long ago was that, Joe? That's a pop quiz.
Well, no, pop quiz question. I think this is our 13th year. I could be wrong. It might be 14. But it's we're going into a four. This is the 14th because I was here. I've been here 12.
Right.
Here we go.
So 15 years ago, there was no Holy Family Radio.
Yep.
It was just a vision, right? And a bunch of people got together and tried to decide whether this was achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly it is.
Yes, it is.
Right.
I mean, we're here right now.
That's right. But somebody needed to break that down into action steps, or this would have never happened.
Yeah. And there was definitely a demand for it, right?
That's right.
You know, specific audience with an existing demand here in the area. So by someone having a good plan that was specific, measurable, and taking action.
That's right. So this whole idea of taking action is just critical, because without taking action, then these things that we call ideas and a vision and a definition of success just plain old doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says it like this. It says faith without works is dead.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, you can have this idea, but if you don't do anything about it, nothing is going to happen.
And I know with the A for action, you have the no, believe, and do principle, right?
Well, yeah. So the no, believe, do principle is really all about you know something. Now, whether it's a principle that you know about or it's a conviction you have, you know something.
And that's important for taking action. Understanding the facts, the context, potential consequences of a situation is crucial for making informed decisions.
That's right.
And taking appropriate action.
That's right. So you know something. Then you have to decide if you believe what you actually know.
Having that confidence to execute.
That's right. You know, I would argue if you don't do anything about it, then you probably don't believe it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you do believe it, and then you just sit there and you're so bothered. You know, can't sleep at night or whatever because it's just eating you.
Or you might not be so driven or motivated or passionate about it if you don't truly believe in it.
That's right. Yeah. So know, believe, do. You must do something about it in order for anything to actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other. So Holy Family Radio, what a great situation. And whatever we were talking about earlier about mismatched, tax profiles, somewhere a long time ago, you were just chasing, you know, putting money into those tax deferred vehicles and you didn't even think about it. And so that's maybe you were doing something, but the doing was not very lined up with where you were actually trying to go. And we'll be covering more of that in the fourth segment. One other, I think, scenario that I wanted to highlight here is let's pretend that you have investments and you'd like your investments to be aligned with your values and your convictions.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about that often.
We do. Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, a few weeks ago, we had an episode where we were talking about reading a prospectus to understand what was actually happening inside of that.
Or more specifically, with their advisor, making sure that those values align.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let's say that your advisor does not share your convictions.
Mm.
Oh, we'll talk more about that in the fourth segment, right? But that's a real problem, or it can be a real problem. So in terms of, you know, action, let's just kind of dial back. What if my action really is, again, not realistic? Like, let's say that I have a goal. My definition of success is that I'm going to become the president of the United States.
That's a lofty goal.
That's a lofty goal.
I mean, there's only been 45 of them ever. So what are the chances?
Yeah. I do something about it, or I have to dial down my expectations,
mm-hmm.
right? And otherwise, I'm simply sitting there living with an expectation that doesn't make any sense.
Right. You have a better chance of being a gold medal Olympian.
yeah, that's right. So there are some things then that are realistic and doable, and other things where we simply have to recognize, you know, limitations, or maybe understand that that's not really something that we're called to do in the first place.
Mm-hmm. What about like the moon landing?
Oh, the moon landing?
Now, what do we want to say about that? Was that realistic? Was that unrealistic at the time, you know?
When they first got started?
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, that's...
1961, President Kennedy made that commitment, that goal for our country to send a man to the moon and safely return him back to Earth by the end of the decade.
That's right. But then they started taking, again, action steps.
That's right.
In that direction. The Wright brothers did the same thing with the first airplane.
Mm-hmm.
If you visit, oh my goodness, the Outer Banks.
Kitty Hawk
is where the first airplane was flown. Now, to be sure, they had a lot of accidents. A lot of things happened along the way. But they did not give up on their vision of what was possible. But at the time, you know, would we have described that as realistic or not? Would we have, but they did something about it, right? Mm-hmm. They started taking action, and that action moved them in a direction where they felt called to go. And right. The result is that we have airplanes flying around all over the place today.
And that's how we got to the moon, by standing on the shoulders of giants before them and improving their technological advances.
That's right. And that's how, again, Ave Maria University came to be. It's how Holy Family Radio came to be, and so many other things that we know and love.
Yeah, well, good stuff. Well, folks, we're all out of time in this segment. We'll be back after this short break, and we will go over the third A, and I won't let it slip out. So you're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are wrapping up here in our fourth segment our discussion of the A in SMART.
Mm-hmm.
Where SMART is an acronym. The S stands for being specific. M stands for being measurable. A stands for being achievable. But we added two other A's, right? And we covered action.
James put his own twist on it.
That's right. We covered action in the last segment. But that's so important. For action, for anything to happen, somebody needs to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what's our third A?
So the third A really is about alignment.
Ah, yes.
So, and we said, really, if these two A's, the action and the alignment, are not present, then the achievable is all messed up,
mm-hmm.
right? It just, it doesn't happen the way that it could. Action must be in alignment with what you're called to, your definition of success. Think about what happens when an action is not in alignment with your definition. I mean, we'll talk through some things, but alignment is just, what are your thoughts on that, Eric?
I think it's pretty important. It's kind of like having a blueprint for a house, you know, and instead of following those blueprints, you just start building rooms at random. You might end up with a house, but it won't be the home you envisioned.
Hmm.
I mean, so it must align with your vision.
That's right. You know, 2.5 years ago, I decided that I was going to lose some weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing a little bit more exercise and changed my diet. And I actually dropped like 35 pounds.
That's good.
And then 2 years ago, shortly after I did that, I started playing steel guitar in a country gospel music band. And we were driving all over central Pennsylvania and southern New York and, you know, playing gigs.
So you probably had the road diet going on, huh?
And all of a sudden the road diet kicked in, right? That's right. You know, the burger here, slice of pizza there. And guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like the action was not in alignment with where I wanted to be. And, you know, the 40 pounds came back or 35 or whatever it was, right? We won't talk about that. We'll get off that topic here. But alignment, yeah, is if the action is not in alignment, then what you were hoping to achieve doesn't occur.
So what are some of the consequences of misalignment, would you say?
Well, I would say like wasted time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Wasted resources.
Mm-hmm.
If you have XYZ as a goal, I mean, we talk about values-based investing all the time. So let's say you have that as a goal and your portfolio just doesn't reflect that. Then the opportunities that otherwise could have happened simply don't occur.
Yeah. And those wasted time and resources, they can leave you feeling exhausted and unfulfilled.
And frustrated.
And frustrated, discouraged, yes.
And disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Those negative emotions that come up from you not having a goal that, you know, is aligned with your values, you're not putting it in action, you feel like you're not getting anywhere, that can leave you feeling horrible.
That's right. This tends to show up, well, it shows up, for me, it showed up in, you know, the road diet,
right?
But it also shows up in places like our calendars.
How so?
Well, the way we schedule our time is either in alignment with where we're trying to go or not.
Oh, fair. Yep. Yeah.
Like you. I mean, you have already, you have your master's in business administration,
mm-hmm.
right? And, but you are now, as a financial advisor, you are pursuing the certified financial planner designation.
Correct.
And so you're enrolled to take classes over at Elizabethtown University or Elizabethtown College.
College,
right?
Yep.
And I guess after the CFP, the plan is to pursue the Master's of Financial Services.
Master's of Science and Finance.
Master's of Science MSF. And Finance, right.
Yep. It's a little bit different, but.
Yeah. So. This is going to require you to align several things. I mean, you had to take some action. If you would just sit around talking about that, hey, it's something I want to do, and you know, I mean, the first action you had to take was actually sign up for classes,
mm-hmm.
and now then you had to align your budget.
That's right.
Right. And what about the amount of time? I mean, when I studied for the CFP. Designation a number of years ago. That summer, I spent 260 hours studying. That was a schedule commitment. It showed up on my calendar. So if I had said, hey, you know, this is a goal, I'm pursuing this goal and everything, and every time you looked, you know, I was out I was out on the lake. I was, you know, down at the shore. I was just doing all kinds of things other than actually studying. Mm. We would say my action was not in alignment with what I said my goal was.
That's true.
Right? So so alignment like that shows up on our calendar. It shows up on our calendar. And so we've got to be aware, again, of where this shows up.
And you as well, right, James? You're enrolled in the Chartered Market Technician Level 3 course at this point.
That's right.
Yeah. You've gotten through Level 1 and Level 2.
Levels 1 and 2 were not enough.
They were not. Now, let me tell you, folks, I read online that it said the pass rate for those exams is about 40 to 50% for each one of them. And he passed it on the first try.
Yeah.
I mean, you hold other designations, right? The Certified Kingdom Advisor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You hold the Chartered Financial Consultant.
Right.
Certified Financial Planner, which right. I'm signed up for now, and the Chartered Life Underwriter designations.
That's right. Yeah, so it just, you know, again, there's a time commitment to the study in order to get to there. So if your calendar is not...
I just think you're a glutton for punishment, to be honest.
that could be. That's, you know, the action is not in alignment, right? But no, seriously, again... So you have this goal and this definition. I would like to be at this spot, and I have... I know what things are supposed to look like when I finish my study and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't align my calendar, right? If the actions that I'm taking in my schedule and the way I outline my time don't match, then I'm not in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And things don't move to the direction. And whatever I said is simply not achievable, right? If I'm not doing what it takes to actually get there.
And James, you know, you already are a highly qualified financial professional, but by tackling that CMT level 3, you're diving even deeper into the technical side of market analysis.
That's right.
And folks, this isn't just about letters after his name. You know, this knowledge directly translates to better investment decisions for his clients, whether he's managing their individual portfolios or guiding the overall strategy at the firm. So yeah. That is in alignment with what you're trying to achieve.
That's in alignment.
With what you're doing with your clients as your profession.
That's right. And, mm-hmm. you know, here on Holy Family Radio, you know, the folks at Holy Family Radio could say, hey, we're all about, you know, teaching, you know, good Catholic values to our listeners. And if instead of having quality programming like this coming on, let's pretend you had somebody on to talk about Corvettes.
Yeah.
Speaking of Corvettes,
right? No, it just wouldn't be in alignment, right? I mean, it sounds silly, but we have to think about these principles when we're looking at, again, our own planning, right? And the way our investments are structured, the way we have our businesses set up.
And I think that's evident what Holy Family is doing, right? Because as you look down through the programming page, each show, you know, has a different topic. They have a different talking point that they're going on, but they're all teaching those good Catholic values in their own way, their own corner of the world, and how they're able to help folks.
That's exactly right.
We're trying to do that here for the financial side.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, there's another situation then where this alignment thing comes into play.
Mm, what's that?
So, again, we've talked about you want your values to be reflected in your investments and in your financial plan. And let's just say for the sake of conversation that you kind of sit down and you review everything and you decide that that's just not happening to your satisfaction.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so you take an action. You go talk to maybe an advisor that you've been working with.
Right.
And you lay out your vision and your conviction. And let's just say for the sake of conversation that maybe this advisor did not share your convictions.
Mm-hmm.
Then what? There's a misalignment there.
Absolutely.
Right? And then you have some other choices to make as to whether or not you want to, you know, evaluate and change some of those relationships,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's important for the advisors that we have around us to help us in the direction that God's called us to go.
That's
otherwise,
right.
And it's a tough topic because it gets very personal sometimes, but it's important to keep that alignment in mind. Well, some other things that you can do, some other actions that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
Some other actions you can take I mean, certainly you can keep listening to Money and Mission.
That's step one.
Step one.
Tune step in. Right.
That's right. Download. Give us a thumbs up.
Hit the bell. All the things they say. On
that's right. Send us an email. Let us know what we're doing well. What you'd like to see. But no, Money and Mission. Here we're helping you to think about again putting in place these action steps that bring God's kingdom to earth right here. Just like it is in heaven. A second thing that you can do if you're just evaluating and you're trying to get a perspective on that, we've referenced before Compass Financial Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a website, compassfinancialministry.org, in which there's great curriculum and books that you can buy that will help steer you and help you get a perspective on action steps and ways to align your faith and your finances like that. Another website, Kingdom Advisors,
mm-hmm.
kingdomadvisors.com. And if you are seeking out an advisor, you can go to kingdomadvisors.com and that will be a place to start in terms of seeing if there is an advisor that is in alignment with your own values.
And I like from a passage from Proverbs, it says, where there is no guidance, a nation falls.
Mm.
But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So don't hesitate to reach out like that. And this whole thing of having taking action and being in alignment is absolutely critical to making sure that the achievable part actually takes place.
That's right. I think that was a good one today.
That was a good one today.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We appreciate folks for tuning in. This was the most recent episode 9 on Money and Mission. And we look forward to talking to you next week. You are listening to WHYF AM 720.